Hare Krishna. My name is Halla Yuddhadas. I'm traveling with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami as a secretary. And today I was asked to give a Bhagavad Gita class. So I'm here. Today we're going to read the 18th chapter, verse 47 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I can see everyone has a copy of Bhagavad Gita, so we'll start from there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayo. Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 47. Shreyana Swadharmo Vigunaha. Paradharmata Svanusthitata. Swabhavaniyatam Karma Kurve. Okay, sorry. Swabhava niyatam karma. Kurvan apnoti kilbisham. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha. Paradharmat svanusthitata. Svabhava niyatam karma. Kurvan apnoti kilbisam. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha. Paradharmat sva anusthitat. Svabhava niyatam karma. Kurvan apnoti kilbisam. Shreyam sadharma vigunaha. Paradharma svanusthitat. Svabhava niyatam karma. Kurvam napnoti kilbisam. Sriyam swadharmo vigunaha. Paradharma svanusthitat. Svabhava niyatam karma. Kurvam. Shreyam swadharmo vigunaha. Paradharma svanusthitat. Svabhava niyatam karma. Kurvam napnoti kilbisham. So we go word by word, please repeat. Shreyan, better. Swadharma, one's occupational. Sorry, one's own occupation. Viguna, imperfectly performed. Paradharmat, then others' occupation. Su-anusthitat, perfectly done. Swabhava-niyatam, prescribed according to one's nature. Karma, work. Kurvan, performing. Na, never. Apnoti, achieves. Kilbisam, sinful reactions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation: it is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duty is prescribed according to one's nature and never affected by sinful reactions. Purport: one occupational duty is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita. As already discussed in previous verses, the duties of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra are prescribed according to their particular modes of nature. One should not imitate another's duty. A man who is by nature attracted to the kind of work done by Sudras should not artificially claim to be a Brahmana, although he may have been born into a Brahmana family. In this way, one should work according to his own nature. No work is abominable. It is performed in the service of the Supreme Lord. The occupational duty of a Brahmana is certainly in the mode of goodness. But if a person is not by nature in the mode of goodness, he should not imitate the occupational duty of a Brahmana. For a Kshatriya or administrator, there are so many abominable things. A Kshatriya has to be violent to kill his enemies. And sometimes a Kshatriya has to tell lies for the sake of diplomacy. Such violence and duplicity accompany political affairs. But a Kshatriya is not supposed to give up his occupational duty and try to perform the duties of a Brahmana. One should act to satisfy the Supreme Lord. For example, Arjuna was a Kshatriya. He was hesitating to fight the other party. But if such fighting is performed for the sake of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there need be no fear of degradation. In the business field also, sometimes a merchant has to tell so many lies to make a profit. If he does not do so, there can be no profit. Sometimes a merchant says, "Oh, my dear customer, for you I am making no profit." But one should know that without profit the merchant cannot exist. Therefore, it should be taken as a simple lie. If a merchant says that, he is not making a profit. But the merchant should not think that because he is engaged in the occupation in which the telling of lies is compulsory, he should give up his profession and pursue the profession of a Brahmana. This is not recommended. Whether one is a Kshatriya, a Vaishya or a Sudra doesn't matter. If he serves by his work the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even Brahmanas who perform different types of sacrifice sometimes must kill animals, because sometimes animals are sacrificed in such ceremonies. Similarly, if a Kshatriya engaged in his own occupation kills an enemy, there is no sin incurred. In the third chapter, this matter has been clearly and elaborately explained. Every man should work for the purpose of yajna or for Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything done for the personal sense gratification is a cause of bondage. The conclusion is that everyone should engage according to the particular mode of nature he has acquired, and he should decide to work only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. Jai. So I'll read the translation again. Or should we repeat translation? Yeah. Okay. Maybe you can repeat after me. Yeah. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duty is performed. sorry, duty is prescribed according to one's nature and never affected by sinful reactions. Thank you. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjan Salakaya Chakshurunmilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Mangayate Girin Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dhinatarinam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's a very nice verse. And at the same time, it is one of the verses of Bhagavad Gita which is quite confusing for us to understand in this day and age. What does it mean? What's Krishna is trying to say, right? One should engage in according to his prescribed duty. Now, as Prabhupada is mentioning, like in Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned that how there are four varnas and four ashramas. So, who would like to say which are the four varnas? Yes, Prabhupada? Vaishya and Shudra. And which are the four ashramas? Thank you. So, these are the four varnas and four ashramas. A very nice thing here to understand is that Vedic scripture, which I'm mentioning about these four varnas and four ashramas, the main idea is, the main point I'm trying to make is, what is the need of these four varnas and four ashramas? Why can't live a normal life, right? Just go to school, get a job, have a wife, have a few kids, make money and die. Why can't we live just for normal life? What is the need of these four varnas and four ashramas? Why we try to find out who am I, kshatriya or brahmana or brahmachari, grihastha? What is the need? Why do I need to follow all these rules and regulations? Isn't it? That is the first consideration we should... It comes in the mind for a person that why is all these complications in life? What we try to understand here is the Vedic civilization is explaining that there is a purpose behind our life. As Prabhupada always explains that how the difference between human and animal is that an animal only engaged in four activities: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Ahara, nindra, bhaya, maithun. But for a human being, there is a higher purpose for existence. A human being is supposed to inquire, like, who am I? Why am I here? What is my duty? Why am I getting old? Why do I have to die? What will happen after I die? Where will I go? Where am I coming from? What is the reason I am here? Why am I suffering in this world? So these are the inquiries a human should perform. And unless someone is inquiring these matters, he is actually acting simply on animal platform, doing only four activities, ahara, nindra, bhaya, maithun. So Vedic civilization and the Vedic scriptures are actually explaining to us that how a human should understand that there is a higher purpose of a life, right? A human should inquire that who am I? Who is the Supreme Lord? And what is my relation with Him? Unless we inquire that, we are actually wasting our life. And for that, I mean, ultimately, Vedic scriptures mentions that our life, we should try to attain liberation at the end of this life. At least a human being, I mean, if nothing else, then at least try to get out of this material world. Get the liberation. Stop this suffering. Stop this cycle of death and birth. Then the question comes, then how to do it? How should we act? What should be our duties? So that at the end of this life, we can escape this material world and we can go back to Krishna, or at least attain the liberation and at least stop suffering. Right? This is that the least thing what a human being should be inquire. And that is what our scriptures like Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or the Vedic scriptures, they're providing this information on how to do it. And for that, we have this complications. Kshatriya and Brahmana and Grahastha and Sannyasi. So these are not just to make life confusing, but it teaches us how should one act so that at the end of our life we escape this material world and we go back to Krishna. So that should be the aim of a human form of life, that let's just get out of here. That is the least thing we want to do, right? That is why it is these four varnas and four ashramas explained. And as we know that all these different varnas, they have their particular duties. Like Brahmanas' duties are explained as Patan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Gyan, Dan, Pratigya. Patan, Patan means he is supposed to learn the scriptures and supposed to teach the scriptures. Yajan, Yajan means supposed to perform the Yajna, sacrifice, and teach others how to perform Yajna, sacrifice. Dana Pratigya. Dana means he's supposed to give donations and accept, receive donations. So these are the six activities explained for Brahmana. Excuse me. Similarly, there are duties for Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas are normally administrative classes. Right? They're supposed to rule. They're supposed to guide the civilization. And they're supposed to look after the kingdom. That's the Kshatriya. Kshatriyas are more passionate people, as mentions in a purport, that how Brahmanas are normally people in a mode of goodness. And similarly, Kshatriyas are those people in mode of passion. Right? They have a lot of passionate behavior to fight and kill. These are the normal activities. Normally, like we know, as we know in Mahabharata, that the Pandavas, they were Kshatriyas, even though they were pure devotees of Krishna, but they were Kshatriyas. And just to learn how to kill, they used to go in a forest and kill animals. No, but they were doing it because that's what their duties. Right? They're supposed to know how to kill. And to perform the duties properly, they had to go in a forest and kill animals. But as Prabhupada mentions in purport, that person who is engaged in his duties, he doesn't incur any sin. Right? If someone is doing any activity just for sense gratification, for his own purpose, only then he gets sinful reactions for his activity. But when we do any activity as our duty, then we don't get any sinful reactions. So these are some occupations explained about Kshatriyas, and how they rule and they protect the civilizations, protect the Brahmanical culture. They collect the tax from the citizens. Similarly, there are duties explained for Vaishyas. What are the duties of Vaishyas? Any ideas? Anyone like to say the duties of Vaishya? Business, yes, very nice. Any other? Business, to make business. Car protection, very nice. Krushi, Vanijya, Goraksha. These are the three duties of Vaishya. Krushi means, the farming. It's supposed to grow the vegetables and fruits and grains. Krushi, Vanijya means business, and Goraksha is cow protection. So these are some of the duties explained for Vaishyas. And what is the duty of Sudra? Exactly, very nice. The duty of Sudra is to serve other three classes of men. He's simply supposed to get the order from other three classes of men and follow those orders. And how Prabhupada explains, when Prabhupada went to America and started preaching this Krishna consciousness, and he started telling about Kshatriya and Brahmana and Vaishya and Sudra, people tried, why are you bringing all these things here? You know, this is not India. This is, keep it in India, not in the West. We don't do all this in the West. But then Prabhupada said, this is not artificial. We are not artificially dividing. The society has these four castes already. Right? It is already there. We simply have to identify them. The example he gives is, he says, when you go to college, you'll see someone is studying in doctor, someone is doing engineering, someone is doing accounting, and someone is learning how to fix, the plumbing and stuff. So these divisions are already there, right? So you can see there are certain people, the higher class, they have the more intelligent. There are certain people are a little less intelligent, certain people have lesser than others. So similarly, in a society there are people, those who have brahminical qualities, already brahminical qualities. There are people who has a quality of a kshatriya, there are people who has a quality of vaishya, and there are people who has qualities of sudras. So we are not trying to divide society in these four caste, but it is already there. And the reason Prabhupada mentions that we want these four castes in a society. Anyone, any ideas? Why would Prabhupada want these four divisions in a society? Anyone like to mention anything? Any ideas? That's right, yeah. Very nice. Yeah, as Prabhupada mentions that how these four varnas will make the whole society complete. He gives an example of a body, that how in our body we have a head, we have an arm, we have a belly, and we have a leg. Right? These are these four ashramas, or four varnas, actually just like a complete body. A brahmana is like a head. Right, Brahman, head thinks, head understands what to do, how to do. Hand is like a kshatriya, because kshatriya works. So hand works hard, hand makes get things what the body needs. Vaishya is like a stomach, right? Vaishya produces so many things so that the society can perform nicely. And shudra is like a feet, works hard, because we need to work at the end of the day. Right, only simply talk doesn't really help. So sudras are also important people. As Prabhupada mentions that these four varnas, there is no one is right and wrong, right? There is no one is higher and lower. All of them are equally important, and we need all of them in a society for the society to work properly. For example, if we don't have any one part of the body, if we don't have a hands, we struggle. If we don't have legs, we struggle. We can't perform. The body is not complete. We can't perform the things properly. But most important, if we don't have a head, that's it. Body can't do anything. And Prabhupada used to say, right now, the society is like a body without head. There is no brahmanas left. No one is there to guide the society. What to do? What is right? What is wrong? Right? The sudras are sitting on an administrative post, the sudras who are ruling the society, and they're making practically big mess. Right now society is a mess. It's such a big mess out there. They're trying to fix problems, but they're creating thousands of other problems just to fix one problem. So they don't have a direction. They're trying to fix one problem, but they're causing 100,000 other problems just to fix one problem. And they have no direction. They don't know what they're doing. What is right, what is wrong. No understanding. Only consideration is to make profit. I know that how drugs are illegal in a society. Right? You know why they're illegal? Because government hasn't worked out how to claim tax on drugs. Right, they're giving tobaccos and cigarettes, right, which are equally harmful to the people. People are dying through that, but they know how to make money out of it, so they make it legal. Okay, you guys can smoke and die as long as we get our money. But they haven't done that. They couldn't work it out how to make drugs like marijuana and hashish and all this legal. How to claim tax on it? So they're making it illegal. If they figure it out that this is how to make money, they'll make it legal as well. So this is the government right now. They don't actually look after the civilization, right? They don't care for what is good for us, what is bad for us. They only think for themselves, right? How to make profit. And so this is what is a society right now. It's a society without any direction. But in a previous time, every king used to have a administrator, king used to have a brahmana who guides him. You probably know about it, like a king has one brahmana or maybe a team of brahmanas who discuss the subject and then guide that king what to do. King can do things, right? King knows how to do it, but what to do? That he used to learn from the brahmanas. He used to have a team of brahmana who discuss, and then he gets the direction from the brahmanas, and then king used to perform according to brahmanas' directions. So brahmana is the most important person. He understands. Brahmana is a person in mode of goodness, right? He understands what is right, what is wrong, and how should act. So that's how, in previous time, kings used to get directions from the brahmana and perform his duty, and that's how the society was working nicely. But right now, I mean, no wonder, being a Kali Yuga, it's hard to say who is brahmana and who is kshatriya in this Kali Yuga. Basically, it says in Kali Yuga, everyone is a sudra. Right? Kali Kalam, sudram sambhava. Everyone is just a sudra in Kali Yuga. Now, the point comes is, okay, it's Kali Yuga. We know philosophy, right? There has to be a brahmana, there should be a kshatriya, there should be a vaishya and sudra, right? We have to be either in brahmacharya ashram or krihastha ashram or this ashram or that ashram. But what about us? How do we know? Isn't it? That's the most important question. Like, okay, what is my duty? Krishna says, perform your duty. Okay, Krishna, I'm agree. I mean, for Arjuna it's easy. Krishna says, go and kill these people. Okay, no problem. He takes up the bow, arrow and just start killing. Easy for him. Krishna is there telling him. What about us? How do I know what is my ashram? Right? What is my duty? What am I supposed to do in this world? Anyone likes to give any ideas? I'm just trying to make a discussion because I'm not a scholar and I'm just telling what I have heard so far. So you can also, yes Prabhu. That's a very good point. Yes, very nice. It's probably the best answer you can get on this subject, that how we should ask the spiritual master, right, that what am I supposed to do? Actually, answer is given in the purport itself. Prabhupada mentioned, a man who is by nature attracted to the kind of work done by sudras should not artificially claim to be a brahmana. Although he may have been born into the brahmana family. So what Prabhupada is trying to say is, a person has certain nature, And that nature he is acquiring by his association of three modes of material nature. Right? And that nature decides what is your ashrama, what is your dharma. That person, he may be born in Brahmana family. I mean, this is a very common thing in India. The Brahmanas, they claim themselves Brahmana because they're born in a Brahmana family. In India, this custom is still there. You know, my mother, she used to invite. That's right. You got a thread, you're Brahmana. Yeah, it's very common in India, you know, person, oh, I'm born in Brahmana family, I'm a Brahman, you're supposed to serve me, you're supposed to give me donation, you know. Very common in India, but as Krishna explains, this is not by your birth, this is supposed to be by your nature. What is your nature? Person, there are person claiming to be a Brahmana, right, they're claiming to be like very learned people, they might have read few scriptures, but if you see them, they're simply chewing the tobacco all the time. And they have no understanding how the society works. All the prescribed duties of Brahmana, they're not performing, but still they claim themselves to be Brahmana just because they're born in Brahmana family. Oh, my father was a Brahmana, my grandfather was a Brahmana, so I'm also a Brahmana. But this is not true. If the person acts like a Sudra, right, then he should be considered Sudra. But person who is born in Sudra family, if he acts like a Brahmana, if he is performing austerities, learning scriptures and truthfulness and all this Brahmanical quality, he should be accepted as Brahmana. I heard one very nice explanation. I mean, you probably have heard that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I am no Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. I am no Brahmachari, I am no Sannyasi, I am no Grahastha, I am no Vanaprastha. I am only Dasa Dasanu Das. Gopir Bhartu Padakamala Dasa Dasanu Das. Right? I am only servant of the servant of the servant of the devotee who has worshipped the food, the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. Right? No doubt, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is a Lord himself. And he is speaking on a highest professional platform. So a certain devotee used to say that, okay, look, Mahaprabhu himself says that these designations are material. We are spirit soul, and for spirit soul there is no such thing. It is true by our philosophy, if you see, we are spirit soul, right? We are not this body. And what I have heard, a very nice explanation is that the philosophy what we are learning in Krishna consciousness, we are not this body, we are a spirit soul, has a completely different way of application in the life. Theoretically we know that, okay, I am a spirit soul, I am not this body, doesn't matter which body I have, male, female, black, white, or doesn't matter what nature I have according to these three modes of material nature in this material world, but I am not product of this world. I am a spirit soul, I doesn't belong here. Right? Philosophically we know this. But there are two things goes hand in hand. One is philosophy and one is psychology. Right? Everyone has a certain psychology. So these four varnas and four ashramas are actually psychological part of our life. As Krishna is mentioning to Arjuna, that you are a kshatriya, go and fight. This kshatriya part is actually a psychological part. Krishna is simply using psychology. So by addressing Arjuna as Kshatriya, he reminds him, okay, you have certain duties and you perform your duty. And that way, he engages in a way that he becomes perfect in his life. Right? He follows Krishna's instructions and he becomes perfect in his life. Similarly, we have to accept certain varna and ashrama in our life. It has nothing to do to be a Krishna conscious, it has nothing to do with devotion, but it's a psychological part of our life. Once we know that, okay, now I'm a grahastha, or now I'm a brahmana, right, and I have certain duties to perform. So when we understand those duties we have to perform, and we perform it, we perform those actions as a duty, right? That will make us Krishna conscious. We know that we are supposed to be Krishna conscious. We know we are not this body but a spirit soul. But how to apply that philosophy in our life? For that we have to perform, we have to understand that, okay, what is my dharma? What is my duty? Who am I? Am I supposed to be in a brahmacharya ashram? Or a grihastha ashram? Or am I supposed to be a sannyasi? Or am I supposed to be a kshatriya? Or brahmana? Or vaishya? Or shudra? Right? So this eight aspects are a psychological part in our life, in every human's nature. Every human has a particular nature. And that nature we acquired by the three modes of material nature. But when we understand ourselves in a particular way, then we perform those duties. And we act in a way that we become duty conscious. And we do it as a duty. And that's how we become Krishna conscious. Is that right, Prabhu? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, it's a very good point you mentioned that how we should understand that the main point to understand is to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. Right? If the spiritual master says you fast, then you fast. If he says you feast, then you feast. Now, if you follow the instruction of the spiritual master, then there is no obligations. Right? Krishna will accept you. Other people may criticize you, but Krishna will accept you. So that's more important part. And similarly here it explains that how we should understand what is our nature, what is our duty, is simply asking spiritual master. Right? When we approach a spiritual master, we can ask our spiritual master, okay, what is my duty? How should I act? A spiritual master being experienced, realized, devotee who has a bona fide spiritual master, who has been following the instruction of his spiritual master, he knows, he has understood, he has a level of understanding, and he can guide the disciple. Some spiritual master can just see the disciple and he simply says, okay, this is what your duty is, right? This is what you should be doing. Sometimes a disciple or a devotee being on a Neopites platform, hard to accept those instructions from spiritual master, because he has certain different desires. You know how we are actually controlled by our desires? We have so many desires. You probably know how someone is new in Krishna consciousness, first few years is enthusiastic, so much brahmachari mood, you know, fanatic, oh, whole world is in maya, I'm a pure devotee. But later on he comes a little bit in a harmony, try to understand how things are working. So spiritual master sometimes understand that, okay, he is not on a level of understanding my instruction, right? So he won't give any instruction at that time. He only gives some instruction that he can understand or he can accept. Later on when he sees, okay, my disciple is growing, getting mature, then he gives higher instructions. Then he tells, okay, now you should do this, now you should do this. And a disciple, after some time when he's mature, he understands that, okay, spiritual master, he knows best for me. What he says is the best and I should follow his instructions. I am a disciple, I am a blind person, I don't have vision, right? But he is my spiritual master, he has a vision, he knows, he can see the future of mine. He knows what am I supposed to act like right now for my better future. So a mature disciples, he approaches spiritual master and he gets instructions from a spiritual master and follow their instruction, even though he may not like it initially. Initially it may be too hard, initially it may be too much for our mind and senses to accept or to follow. But a sincere and serious disciple can listen, my spiritual master has told me this, this is for my good and I must do it. Just like a patient, you know, a mature patient, he goes to doctor. Doctor may say, okay, I have to put a needle, you know, to fix you. And the guy says, look, that's going to hurt. I know, but that's for your good, you know. You get the needle, you'll be alright tomorrow. So a mature person will say, I know, he's a doctor, you know, he knows what he's doing. So let him put a needle, you know. So he gets a needle from a doctor, even though it hurts. Similarly, mature disciples understand that, okay, my spiritual master knows what is best for me. So it may hurt right now, I may not like it right now, but let me do it, right? Because I know what he's doing is best for me. And that's how we understand. Basically, in Krishna consciousness, our duty is to follow the instruction of spiritual master. Because spiritual master can understand, okay, by your nature, this is what service you should be doing, right? And when we engage in a service according to our nature, then we relish this Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we may have some different desire in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness is a wide field, you know, there's so many things you can do, right? There's so many different services there, so many different things you can do. But what is suitable for you, according to your nature, that needs to be understood. Sometimes devotee is not mature, and he may try to do certain things just because he has desire of doing things, but because that's not his nature, he makes mistakes, he gets frustrated, and sometimes we see devotees leave, right? Because they are not being engaged according to their nature. Mostly what we can see is right now, the devotees are getting engaged according to the necessity of the, according to the time, place and circumstances, not according to the nature of the person. And that's kind of a mistake we're doing, because unless person is engaged according to his nature, he's not going to last there for long, right? He will get frustrated after some time. What time are you finishing? Quarter past 9. Okay. Quarter past 8. Oh, is it? Okay, so they're here now. Okay. Well, I'll finish in 5 minutes. Anyway. So base explanation we can understand here is, we must understand that our spiritual master knows what is best for us. We should simply take the instructions from him and know that this is my duties and we perform that duty. Right? What do you think?
It's true.
Is it true? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, I'll finish here, and if anyone have any question or comment or any more corrections, you're most welcome. Yes, Prabhu.
My English is very bad, so I can try to express myself. But no, I agree with you, but I think it's very difficult to surrender to a spiritual master, our proper spiritual master. And I don't know how to manage this, you know, sometimes it's very... because sometimes the spiritual master said, you have to do something, and you cannot. You cannot. You think in yourself it's too hard for me. So, what can I do?
Very good question. Thank you very much. In Krishna consciousness, what we have learned from Srila Prabhupada is just do what the spiritual master says, right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw Prabhupada, you go and preach in a waste. And this person is just walked in a room, has no idea what's happening in the world. You go and preach in a waste. And Prabhupada was flat. What are you talking about? I got to run my pharmacy. But then Prabhupada surrendered. And that is what Prabhupada is teaching to us as well. Surrender to the order of your spiritual master, right? Okay, now I'll answer your question, how it works. Basically, spiritual master, as I was mentioning, can understand his disciple, whether he's ready to surrender to me or not. He may like, okay, I have to take initiation without a spiritual master, my spiritual life does not begin, so I have to accept a spiritual master, even though we may not be ready to surrender completely. But this aspect, normally a spiritual master understands. So normally he does not give you any instruction that freaks you out, that makes you cry, oh no, I can't do it. Normally a spiritual master initially would not give such instruction. He knows step-by-step progress of his disciple. So he will engage you according to your nature to start with, what you like to do, right? But gradually, he will make you a senior devotee, a sincere disciple, a mature disciple, and he will make you surrender. So don't worry too much, you know. I know it's a scary thing. Surrender word itself is a very scary thing. Oh, surrender? I have to give up everything? Oh my God. I have to be a slave of someone? What will happen to me? What about me? You know? It's a scary thing. Even though it's a perfect platform, we're not ready for it to straight away. So spiritual master knows this fact that it's not easy for a disciple to just give up everything in a minute, give up all his desires, and he just do what I want as my slave. But so initially he will give you guidance in a way that you become mature, and one day you can probably surrender. It may take a few lifetimes to come to that platform. But yeah, so a spiritual master knows, so you don't have to worry too much about it. You just have to have a faith in the words of spirit. Sometimes I heard in Kadamakanand Swami's lecture that sometimes it may become too hard for you, right? The spiritual master instructions, oh, I can't do it, you know, so tough for me. Spiritual master wants to go out book distribution every day, oh, it's too much for me, I can't do it. Just go and talk to your spiritual master. Because he's also a person, and he can understand. So you can just go and explain, oh, Guru Maharaj, it is very hard. See, there are different levels of disciples, right? A completely neophyte disciple needs step-by-step instructions, everything, detailed instructions. How should I sit? How should I eat? How should I sleep? When to sleep? When to wake up? How to chant? How to read? All these things. And I have seen some spiritual masters giving such a detailed instruction to the disciples, because the person needs to know all this. He is so much in the neophyte platform, he doesn't even know these things. Some certain devotees are in a higher platform. Spiritual master gives them a just higher level instruction and let them work out the details, right? Some say, okay, just like Prabhupada was told, just go and preach in a waste. Detailed, he works out by himself how to do, because he has a sincerity and he was mature enough to understand the instruction from his spiritual master. So rest of the part he worked out himself. But some disciples, they need to give on detail as well. So a spiritual master, authorized, bona fide spiritual master understands that what is the level of my disciple and what kind of instructions should I be giving to him. So we just have to follow that. Is that good answer or is that happy? Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments, and corrections? Anyone like to add anything? Well, look, thing is, as 10 offenses, is we have to follow the instruction of a spiritual master. We have to. There is no argument about it. You can't say, oh, he can say whatever, I'm not doing it. Right? Krishna will not accept you. It's one of the offenses and our spiritual life will be in danger. So instead of not following, just go and speak with the spiritual master, Maharaj, this is not possible for me. What can I do? Right? We can't just ignore the order of a spiritual master. That's a third offense out of 10. Yeah? So we must follow the order of a spiritual master. If something you can't do it, then you can also discuss. Explain to your spiritual master your situation or whatever difficulties you're facing. And the spiritual master can help you out in that.
Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't give you the instruction because he knows you can't follow and then you get in trouble.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying we must discuss. If you can't follow the instruction, then you must discuss. Okay, Maharaj, this is difficult for me, what should I do? Spiritual master understands, everyone is not a pure devotee. Yeah? We are all taking step by step, steps toward Krishna. So some devotees take longer, some devotees go faster. Yeah, that is true. I mean, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so sometimes we may take time. Exactly, yeah, that's right, yeah. So, so instead of just giving up, we can take some time, we can try our best, at the end of the day. Because that's what Krishna looks at. Try your best. Yeah, thank you, Babu. This is a very nice explanation. Yeah. Anyway, we better finish here. Yeah? Getting late. Anyone like to add anything? Any more comments, questions? Or can we finish there? Yeah. All right. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. శిల ప్రభుపాద్ కి కోరిక మనందే.
హరి ఓం.